fine.
I'm sure you were doing much better after you heard the score of the Denver game on Sunday. Just go through your emotions and kind of what's gone on in the past few days to your team.
Well, you know, obviously the focus and emphasis all week last week was getting ready to go play Tampa and play a real good team, and you know, they were 6-0 at home, and we were trying to prepare, you know, probably to do something a lot of people didn't think we could do. And once you got that done, then you could start thinking about the other part of the equation that hadn't happened. And there's no question it was exciting on the plane when we got the word, and then reality sets in about 5 minutes later, and you know, you got to get ready to play a real good football team.
Do you sense that your team feels like it's got second life after everything that's gone on this season?
Yeah, I guess that's the way you might look at it, but you know, this group's been through an awful lot over the last couple of years, and I think they've done a good job of just preparing a week at a time. You know, we have lost a lot of close football games, and it seems like when we've done that, we've come back and, you know, taken a real business-like approach and prepared for each game.
Norm, how do you explain what you guys have done in December last couple of years?
Well, you know, it's something that these guys have done in the past, and you know, we do have good football players, and we try to gear things from a practice standpoint, from a preparation standpoint, that you're going to continue to keep getting better. Obviously, you know, I think some of it who you play and when you play them has something to do with it. You know, I don't know if you can pinpoint one thing.
In what ways has Vincent Jackson improved the most this year?
He probably, you know, Vincent is a real good football player and was a real good football player certainly the second half of the season and you know, most of last year. And I just think the experiences he had the second half of the year and the production he had and the success he had in the playoffs, you know, just did a lot for his confidence. And he came back here and had a great off season and had a great training camp. And you know, he's gotten where he can go play and relax, and he's not thinking about, am I supposed to be 18 yards or 20 yards deep, or am I cutting off my inside foot, or you know, am I going three steps to the post? He's just reacting and doing it, and you can just see the rapport between he and Phillip as they go. He's just as I say, playing with a lot of confidence.
With the leap he made this year, how good can he be next year? Could he be in, you know, a Pro Bowl type receiver next year?
Well, I was talking to Vincent the other day, and in fact, it was last week, late in the week, before we went to Tampa, and I told him usually what happens in this league is you have the kind of year you had this year, you know, and we expect him to get over 1,000 yards, and he did, and he made big plays in that football game, and you get people's attention, and then if you build on that and you even play better, which I believe he will next year, then you start getting people saying you should be a Pro Bowl receiver, that you know, you're playing with the elite receivers in the league, and I think that, you know, that he has a chance to have that ahead of him.
Speaking of receivers, different approach to Brandon Marshall this time around, I'm guessing?
Well, we played better in the second half, you know, in that game, and he was just on a roll in the first half, and he did some unbelievable things, and Jay was getting the ball to him, and you know, when that happened, sometimes it's hard to slow him down. We thought we did better, thought we had a plan at halftime, and did better in the second half, and you know, as I told our guys, I know they're really, really talented. The receiving group, obviously Cutler's playing at an extremely high level, and you know, we know they're going to make some plays, and they're going to complete some balls, and we want to limit the big plays, and you know, we've got to do a great job of tackling so we don't let some of those short gains turn into big plays.
You said you've been through a lot as a team the last couple of years, and I don't know how many must-win games you've had, but as a coach, do you ever get immune to the second-guessing and the cost for your head and that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I think the thing about it is, you know, you're always going to – people are involved, and people want you to win, and they care a lot about your team. So from a standpoint of the fans, you know, I understand when you're not playing as well as they expect or you expect to be playing, you're going to – you know, there is going to be second-guessing, and I think you just understand that that's part of it. You know, it's, you call a play against a team and it goes for 15 yards and it's a good call, and you run the same play in another game or in another quarter and it's minus two and you're dumb. So I think you understand that, and you just you got to do what you believe in. And we have good coaches and we have good players. And unfortunately, during this year, we had a tough time at the end of games and lost three or four games. In the last few seconds, we had chances to win.
Do you ever get used to people calling you dumb?
The only time it bothers me is if it's my family. You know, other than that, I can live with it.
Does that happen a lot when you come through the door?
No, I'm trying to make light of it. You know, it's really part of what this business is. And I've worked with some really, really good coaches, and I've seen them, depending on their situation, go through it. And, and I've been with some guys that I, know were extremely sharp, intelligent, experienced, and very, very good at what they do. And when you see a guy, that you respect like that being called dumb, then it's, you realize they can call anyone dumb.
You've had kind of an unorthodox decision this year, changing your defensive coordinator midstream. How difficult a decision was that, and how do you feel like it's kind of affected everything?
Well, I think any time you have to make a decision like that, it's very difficult because it affects people's lives. The biggest thing is, for our football team, we are in a position where we weren't getting better on that side of the ball. It was the same things over an extended period of time, and I just felt it was the right thing to do. And I believe through the changes and the things we've done defensively, we have gotten better.
Obviously, week two, controversial call goes against your team, and you lose this game in Denver. How did you get your team not to focus on that and think about that, or even yourself not to focus on that?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, you say all the things you say, and you do everything you can to keep people from talking about it and sitting there, the what ifs. So I'm sure it's part of it. But our guys responded, and we won the next two football games. We played well in a Monday night game. Actually, started the game throwing an interception for a touchdown against the Jets, and then came back and played at a real high level. So, I think they did a good job of putting it behind them.
What do you take from that week two game, if anything, into this game?
Well, when there's 14 games or whatever it is, 13 games between when you played last, teams have changed. There's things they're doing differently. The biggest thing, I do know this, there were a lot of big plays made in that game on both sides of the ball, and when you look at it, most of them were based on someone not doing a good job of tackling early in the play and it turning into a big play. So it's been a big emphasis of ours. Both teams have very talented quarterbacks, have explosive players in terms of receivers and backs and tight ends that can make plays. So there's going to be plays in the game. You just have to minimize the damage as you go along. And, I've had a lot of people ask me about the two offenses, and really the game's really going to come down to, which defense plays the best, and then probably end up coming down to who protects the ball the best and, has the fewest turnovers.
What do you make of this rivalry between Jay and Phillip?
Pardon me?
What do you make of the rivalry between Jay Cutler and Phillip?
I'm kind of perplexed by it because I don't know how it started, and I don't know really what the rivalry is, other than you got two teams that are in the same division that have had great games against each other and both want the same thing. And you got two very, very competitive players. So, they get a lot of attention and they're kind of becoming leaders of their each of their teams. So, it's kind of just moved over to that. But I don't really see it as an issue or as part of the game.
Should Phillip have been a pro bowler this year?
Pardon me?
Should Rivers have been a pro bowler?
I don't know. I think it's the fans have a chance to vote now, and the players have the chance to vote. I think Phillip wasn't very high up in it from a fan voting, and then the players pushed him up to where he was a full first alternate. So I think he got he's gotten a lot of respect from players, and I think there's a lot of the guys he played against, the teams we played against, I think a lot of them voted for him because he's had a great year. But, you know, that whole thing in terms of who goes and who doesn't go, there's a lot more to it than just how one season went.
Where's LaDainian at right now with his health and his effectiveness?
I thought LaDainian had one of his really had a good performance against Tampa. I thought he ran the ball extremely well. His vision was great. He was explosive in the hole, I think physically he's feeling pretty good right now. So his problems early were the toe. He hurt himself early, and he really wasn't full speed for 5 or 6 weeks, and had a tough time practicing. And you know, when we've given him day. When we've given him chances to get out in space, he's LT. And, we just got to keep finding ways to get him some room to work. We see a lot of eight-man fronts. Obviously, Denver's a big eight-man front team. So, people, it's crazy as it sounds, as much as we've thrown the ball, as many big plays as we've made, people are still focusing in and saying, hey, we're going to stop LT and see what happens after that.
So kind of like your season, you know, don't write the obituary yet for LT. A lot of people thought maybe he took too many hits and this and that.
No, I think LT, you know, I've been in a couple situations where people started thinking a guy wasn't what he used to be. And LT's got a lot of football left in him, and he's got a lot of explosive plays left in him.
Coach, have you ever been on a team like this where, you're below 500 coming to the last game of the season, and it seems like the confidence couldn't be any higher right now?
Well, you know, we have probably much like the Denver players. We have a group of guys that have had success. They're talented guys, and they have confidence. That's what's allowed us to really get through some of the rough moments, rough times. You know, you lose, you know, a game like we did in Denver, and put it back-to-back with the way we lost the opener with 2 seconds left and a touchdown pass. If you don't have a lot of confidence, those games, could make it real tough on you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, see you Sunday.
Merry Christmas.